Hello, everyone, and welcome down to episode 117 of the Down South Photo Show with me, Brendan Waits, here in Ocean Grove, Victoria, Australia, and the guy on your other screen or in your other ear, if you're listening to the podcast, it's Cameron Blake in Hobart, Tasmania, Australia. Hello, Cameron.
Hello, Brendan. How is your ark building going? Good.
It's wet down here. We're recording this early in the week. It's Monday night. It's Easter Monday, as a matter of fact. And I was just saying to Cam off air, we haven't had rain here for about 3 months, but we're getting it all now.
Yeah.
Literally as we record, there's rain on my roof.
Well, I said to you earlier, I was going to go play golf tomorrow and we're expecting 20 to 25 mil here in Hobart. So,
well, good, because Tassie could do with some rain. So it's your fault and everyone should thank you. All the farmers should thank you for the rain.
You're welcome. Hobart is the second driest capital city in Australia.
After?
Perth.
Incorrect.
Adelaide. Is it the windiest Hobart?
It would have to be.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's the most exposed to the south, isn't it? Oh, well, Melbourne's pretty exposed to the south, but we've got that big island just south of us that sort of blocks it. So
Antarctica?
No, well, Tasmania.
Right, yeah, that one as well.
That place where you live.
Where I live, yeah. So the windiest city in Australia is Hobart, southern edge of Tasmania.
The driest city in Australia could well be Perth, but I think the hottest city is Adelaide. Oh, anyway,
Adelaide, I think you're right.
Why did we go down this rabbit hole? It's way too early in the podcast for this.
We're not even talking about photography.
No, but we will.
It's April Fool's Day today. Is this a joke?
We record this, it's April Fool's Day. Yes. And might I add,
let's add that in.
We were pretty active on social media today. And if anyone happened to capture, which I'll put up on the screen, everyone happened to see that. Thank you for following along. It was lovely.
One was a true April Fool's joke.
Yes.
The other one was a mistake April Fool's joke.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Dear. Yeah. Anyway, it was a bit of fun. And most people took it the right way.
I hope so. Hey, have we hit 100 subs yet?
100? I hope so.
800? 800?
How are you traveling tonight? You had a couple, are you right?
Yeah. Maybe.
We are on a wonderful 777 subs on the YouTubes at the moment. So thank you for everyone who's subscribed. Like, do you know you can like a video? You probably do, but anyway, there's a like thing just there. If you tick that, it does something. I don't know. YouTube likes us more. Something happens.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, if you like it, it does something. If you
subscribe, it adds it to people's algorithms and stuff. I don't know.
I don't know. I think we get a lot of people watching. We've got more subscribers and watchers per episode, though, don't we? I think that
we do, but apparently 48% of people who watch us don't subscribe. So work that out.
So if you're one of those 48% people, pull your finger out, press the button.
Pull your finger out, literally.
Literally, and press the button.
Or don't. You do you. That's totally fine.
Yeah, we don't get paid either way, do we?
That's right. That's really bad. Backgrounds. I think it's my week to go first. I don't know. I may have put this one up on the show before, but
that's clearly Scotland.
I was absolutely not. I was scrolling back through. I was scrolling back through some old photos that I took in New Zealand a couple of trips back. And I just love the lights in this photo. And it's done in the middle of the day. And it's probably even shot on my phone. I can't even remember. But, man, this is called Te Mata Peak, which is just near Napier. Well, Napier is way off in the distance there. And there's also a town like Hastings, Havelock North is all there. It's an awesome part of New Zealand. And not a lot of people get there because – yeah, you go to New Zealand, you go to the South Island, you go to where all the spectacular stuff is. I get it, but have a look at that for a landscape that not a lot of people would even know. That river that you can see in the valley to the right there—that is the Tuki River.
Tuki River.
My brother's property is right on that river, so I'm very, very lucky to have someone living right there.
So it is. Hmm. It is. It does look very much like Scotland. That's for sure.
Speaking of Scotland,
yeah.
Are you going to Scotland next year?
This year I'm going to Scotland.
You're going this year. Are you taking a tour there next year?
I'm scouting this year.
Fantastic.
And touring next year. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I've got 12 days I'm there for.
Awesome.
I don't know. There could be a fair bit of drinking, I imagine.
There'll be a little bit of golf.
Yeah, I'm playing. I am actually literally playing golf the first morning I arrive because
I'm
the first night I'm
excited by
staying on a
that.
golf course. That's a
I
very
can't
exciting.
wait for the live. It'll be evening for me,
Yeah, it's 11
morning
hours.
for you.
It's a big time difference. So I don't know how the family's going to deal with that.
Not as big as Utah.
No, Utah's good.
Utah's 16 hours difference.
No. Well, it's only 8, really.
That's right, because it's so bad that it's good again.
Yes, that's right. Well, when we were over there, it was really quite funny because I was there with Five Star Dan, and every morning we'd wake up and we're like, okay, let's get as much shit as we can get done before lunchtime because that's when everyone wakes up in Australia. And we started getting messages from the wives, the mates, what's going on? Like, so we got everything done as early as we could. That was our time. That was Dan and Cam time. And
Perfect.
then the rest of the day was all just managing messages and Facebook emails and things like that. So,
Yeah, nice.
yeah. My background.
Let's talk about your background,
It's
Cameron.
not a landscape, but it's a choo-choo train.
It sure is.
So this is one of the steam engines on the West Coast Railway, well, Wilderness Railway in Queenstown, Tasmania. Why am I putting this up on a landscape show? That's a really good question. But I was lucky enough the other day to go out there and do a photo shoot there, because I am running in August, 4 individual 2-hour workshops at this beautiful train station that we're going to get access to the workshop. We get access to the engines. The engines, there's two of them. They'll be ready and raring to go. They'll be steaming. They'll be doing like steam dumps. And there's all these beautiful rail yards with reflections in water that we can get. So the tickets are on sale for that this week. So this will come out Friday. They go on sale tomorrow here, but they should hopefully be still on sale. It's the second and fourth weekend of August, I think it is from memory. But you'll have to go to the West Coast Wilderness Railway website. We might put a link in the bottom of this as well. But I don't know. It was just a really cool excursion, a really, really good experience to get in there. And all the tools. It's just a classic sort of tool shop, and there's like steam engines and carriages and little side carts and all that kind of stuff. It was very cool. And probably one of the coolest things, they were restoring one of their old heritage carriages. And it's all built out of Huon pine. So all in the workshop, there's this massive wooden workshop with Huon pine everywhere and sawdust and stuff like that. So it was very, very cool to be there. So I just thought I'd share that on here for anyone who's a train spotter. What did they call them the other day at the station? They're not train spotters. They were puffers.
Puffers.
Puffer nutters. So that's what
Okay.
that's their words, not mine. But so the people that are riding the trains are called the steam trains are puffer nutters.
Right. Is this like twitches?
It
Birders are
is like
called
twitches.
twitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, a good friend of the show, as much as I hate to say his name, Tom Putt, Tom, he's a good mate of ours.
Never heard of him.
He just brought out a new, he's just signed himself up to a new Instagram page because he's doing a bit more bird photography at the moment. What do you think he called his bird photography page?
Twitches are us.
No, not really.
No, what did he go with?
So he called his Tom's tits and boobs and boobies. Because apparently a tit is a type of bird.
Correct. So it's a booby. That's a
That was a booby.
that's actually got Tom Putt written all over it, to be
It does
honest.
really, yeah. Tom's tits and boobies. As of now, it's got 28 followers, which is probably 27 more than you expect. But yeah, he actually does some nice bird photography. But for some reason, he started himself another social media page. I don't
Sure.
know.
Why not?
Our little April Fool's joke saying we quit.
Yes.
Did you see the great comment under there saying, oh, that's funny because so is the other show?
Yeah,
I
except
thought
they actually did.
they did one YouTube show. Oh, they made it a little bit cringy and a little bit overproduced, and it looked too good. It was actually too professional. And they've just disappeared.
Oh, well,
Yeah.
whatever.
I guess they just don't have the right chemistry.
We'll see off another one. That's
Yeah,
fine.
that's it. Shoulder arms. See you later. Anyway, so that's the steam train's really cool. We'll put a
Awesome.
link in the description below of these workshops if they're not already sold out. I think they're going to sell out pretty quick, because it's very exclusive access to this whole beautiful old rail station and workshop. So
Sounds phenomenal.
it's going to be a lot of fun. And everyone I've spoken to, like, oh, well, can I come to that? Like, everyone can come to it. We'll get 2 hours in the station. They're going to move the trains around. It'll be sort of late afternoon into night, so we'll have all these cool lights lighting up the steam trains, and they're going to flood some of the out the back here where all the rails are. Or the tracks are, they're going to flood it with water. So you get all these beautiful reflections of the train and with the lights on, the whole thing. So it's going to be really, really cool. So
That sounds
I'm
awesome.
really looking forward to it. Yeah.
I reckon. Very cool. A little bit of homework. The March comp is closed. Thank you for everyone who entered. our Blue Hour theme for March.
There's
We
a
really
lot
do
there.
appreciate it. It closed yesterday, our time, a few days ago, your time in YouTube land and podcast land. So now it's up to us to wade through all these entries and come up with a winner. So we will do that probably before the next episode.
I think we should announce it next episode, I think.
Yes, we'll announce the winner next episode. So again, thank you so much for everyone. And particularly thanks to people who have reached out to other photographers and said, hey, you should chuck an entry in this because I think that photo of blah, blah, blah was really good. So we do appreciate that because then it gets another set of eyes on our show. So thank you very much.
And I assume everyone that's entered already subscribes to the YouTube channel as well, I'd imagine.
I think that's a condition of entry, isn't it?
Hey, you know what?
I love it how we come up with ideas on the fly on this show. It happens
if you
regularly.
Win, but you haven't subscribed, then you can kiss your winning prize goodbye. There is a lot of entries, Brendan.
No, Cameron.
There's 96 comments, so there's got to be at least half of them are entries.
Actual entries, yeah. So
there is some cool ones in there. So this is
going to be a challenge.
I think this is our hardest one by a stretch. I think.
Going to be a challenge. Maybe the next topic we come up with or the next subject we come up with for a comp needs to be really obscure.
Yes.
We tried that last time and look where it got us.
That's right. but it's been great. So thank you everyone who's entered. You know what it does? It just reinstalls with me looking at all those photos. It just reinstalls the fact that not everyone is doing AI and not everyone's just cheating and doing massive compositions and editing and stuff like that. Every shot I've seen on there looks quite pure and sort of single shot-ish or, you know, edited really well.
Can't wait to contact our winner only for them to tell us it was AI.
Yeah. there was an article on AI today. It's only
a matter of time.
Some big photographer put out a thing about AI and he got really stuck into the people that are using it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big photographer in the UK, I think. And he's like, "This is, I've had enough. I'm sick of these AIs. I'm sick of this. Don't do it. If you do it, you're a loser." Like he just went off. It wasn't us for a change. It was good.
I was going to say, his last name wasn't Blake, was it? Like, not related in any way.
I don't have any rants. I haven't had a rant for weeks.
Speaking of, let's get into our main topic of discussion.
I was going to say, can we rant on this one? I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about.
We'll probably end up doing that anyway.
Your advice to me was, let me go and you just follow.
Let me tell you what I'm getting at with this topic.
I've got no idea, folks.
So the topic is basically about photography being an expression of yourself and how do you express yourself through your photography? So photography, as far as I'm concerned and as far as a lot of people are concerned, is an art form, right? Yes. I think we can all agree on that photography is an art form. And I have been running quite a few one-on-one photography workshops over the last couple of months.
You have?
And there's a theme running through it, Cameron. And that theme that I'm finding or that thread that I'm finding is I have people sit down and say, how do I take photos like this person? How do I take a photo that looks like this photo? And it's really frustrating. And it's really frustrating because I know that that person that's sitting there with me is never going to take that photo that they're showing me. They're never going to achieve that image. And that's not because they're a bad photographer. That's because that photo was done by another photographer who was expressing themselves. In other words, that was their take on the image. It was their own. They were at the location. They wandered around. They surmised what was the best image that they wanted to get. They worked out what felt good for them at the time.
Right.
That is impossible to reproduce, to replicate. You just cannot do that. So when I have people sitting there saying, I want to take photos just like X, Y, like Cam Blake, for example.
No, I wouldn't.
Name your photographer. Well, like Cam Blake, for example.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to happen. It's frustrating for me because what people need to do is actually learn the technical side of things first. And it is a classic case of walking before you can run. And people just want to, and I get it because that's one good thing is that people are keen and eager to be able to take these photos.
Yeah.
But the downside is they don't have the technical nous to do it, nor do they have the experience to do it.
Right.
And that leads to one thing, frustration.
And
so I had a lovely gentleman who, look, he's doing so well with his photography. He's in his 80s, Cameron, and he's been back into me a couple of times since I ran a one-on-one workshop. And he's got frustration written all over his face. And he comes across as really frustrating with his photography.
Yep.
When we did the workshop and he walked out of the workshop, you could tell the penny had dropped. He was quite happy. He was like, ah, good, now okay, yeah, now I see what you're talking about. Then he's gone out to try and take a particular photo that he's seen someone else take and come back in to me and just like, I can't take this photo. It, why, how come? I've got the same camera as him. I've been to the same location. And that leads to frustration. So what I always say to him is say, well, let me see the photos that you took. Oh, I didn't do any because I couldn't get. Okay, now that is a problem in itself. What I say to people is you need to get to the location and paint the picture for your viewer through your eyes. Forget everything about what you've seen of that location before. And chances are you will come up with an absolutely banging image of your own that's of your own doing. Sure, you can be inspired by someone, but express yourself, express the message that you're trying to get across in that photo. As I say, I see it far too often where people just get frustrated because they're not getting that result that they're seeing in their mind's eye because they've predetermined the image that they're trying to get and prejudice the whole outcome by having these, preconceived ideas and this concept that they're just not getting because the light's not the same. It's a different time of year. They're using a different focal length. They're using a different aperture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when I talk about photography should be an expression of you, that's exactly what I'm talking about. What do you reckon, Cam?
It's actually an interesting topic. Well done.
Oh, that's all right. I came up with it over a little chat with my wife earlier.
It's amazing how many topics we get out of talking to our wives, isn't it?
True.
Look, I agree, and I experience a lot of the same as what you just said with my customers as well. I think one of the biggest things that and I think this is probably gonna upset maybe a couple of our guests, but I think it's an older generation thing that causes this problem. And one of the biggest things that I can see that people do wrong, like you said, they come and say, I'm going to Cradle Mountain. I want that exact same shot you got. I want that same, that this, that. Why is mine not looking like that? I think the big step that people avoid and avoid like the plague is the editing. So I think editing is one of those things that people, like if I had a dollar for every customer that said to me, oh, I just don't get editing. I don't understand what I'm doing. Like I get a great shot, but then I try and edit it and it looks nothing like what I thought it was going to edit. So along with what you said about understanding the technical side of things, what aperture does, compositions, time of day, all that kind of stuff. I think what lets people down the most with their disappointment is that they take it into Lightroom or Photoshop and they just fluff around and they really don't know what they're doing with their editing. And it's one thing that people always ask me on workshops, and it's a tricky one. I was just actually talking to a friend that I'm doing the macro workshops with, and we were going to put editing as part of those workshops in the macro workshops. But what we've decided to do is we're going to do like a pre-recorded editing session and put it out to these people, because in the field, if we go and do editing, you'll be there for hours trying to get everyone on the same level, because everyone can have the same technical photography knowledge or be at the same level. But put them in front of a computer and it's a dog's breakfast. Who knows what to use, how far a slider goes or doesn't go. And I actually think a lot of what I do, my expression, I think is done through my editing and not necessarily my shooting as such. I don't know if you feel the same about your work or not, but like I find I still struggle a lot to accept, and this is probably just my own self-doubt coming in, but I still find it tricky to accept that I've got a good eye. Or when people say, oh, you take great photos, your photos are amazing, I sort of go, oh, maybe, I don't know, like, oh, that's got so much emotion in it. I'm like, really? I didn't really feel emotional. And like I struggle with that expression that that you're meant to put in your photos when I'm taking the photo. But I find that when I'm editing, that's where I seem to get more of my emotion or my expression and what I want to try and portray. So I guess, yeah, it's tricky and it's something that's really, really hard to teach.
It is.
And it's, we live in one of those, we live in the world where everything's instantaneous. Like, we want instant feedback. We want instant gratification. We want instant results. But again, like I say to a lot of customers, like I've been doing this for 25 years and I can tell you that in the first 10, 15 years, I was crap, like real crap, like crapper than you are now, So it's a process of how to shoot and how to get your expression, or I'd like to maybe even say, like maybe it's almost your theme or your like the feel that you put in your own photos. Like that shot behind you of your mountain range, Like, I can look at that and I could quite easily tell you that I could not tell you who took that, whether or not it was you or Ken Duncan or whoever. Like, I look at that and say, it's a beautiful photo. It's got some beautiful light, but I don't know who takes it. I find if you're doing really well with your photography, the expression that you put in your photos are ones that people can look at it and go, oh, that's a Brendan Waite shot. Because that's how all these photos feel and that's how they're sort of shot. Where what I find with a lot of customers is that they'll come in with a 12 photos they've taken over the last couple of years and they'll all look completely different. Like they'll all be edited different, they'll all be shot different, they'll all have a different feel. And what I find is that people go through these stages of trying, like you said, trying to match other photographers. Okay, I love what Brendan does. I'm going to shoot like this. They do that for a month and go, oh, this is not working. Why does it look nothing like Brendan's? But Cam's look good. Let me try Cam's idea and try and do that. And I think it's something that people get trapped into. So yeah,
Definitely,
it's a tricky
definitely,
one, but you're
and
right. Like,
I think part of it is that these people that are particularly beginners, they don't get the feedback that we get, Cam.
no.
So, and that's a tough one because, and quite often, and this is sort of, I'm at pains to say, but it's true. Quite often, people, particularly older people, will take photos and they will show it to people at, and I'm generalizing, at the
Camera
bridge
clubs.
club. No, they won't go to the camera club. They'll go to
Hey.
the local bridge club, or they'll go to the golf club, or a club that they're a part of, and they'll show these photos on their phone. And what do they hear? Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's fantastic. That's such a great photo. And yes, okay, to a certain degree, they probably, and these people that are seeing these photos probably do agree that they're nice photo, but these are people that really don't know anything about photography and don't have a clue. So, they sort of get this false economy of greatness, where and it's actually not very good. And I start, I never have I ever put negative comments under people's photos on Facebook and said, oh, that's, it doesn't happen. It actually happens really rarely.
And it's
I
same, it's the
quite
same.
like, because everyone's in this echo chamber, right? Where, oh, you're such a good photographer, blah, 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 blah. I quite like, there's a couple of pages out there where you can actually go and ask for dead honest critique. And Flickr used to be one of those places where you could say, no, hit me where it hurts. I want to know because I'm trying to learn. To me, that's invaluable compared to
But is it though?
showing Mavis down at the bridge club, who's just going to go, oh, what a great photo,
But this is where I think there is a fundamental issue in photography across the board, because I disagree with what you say. Because if you take it to on the Flickr and say, "Here's my shot behind me. This is what do you think?" You'll have 50% people say, "Oh, that's great." You'll have another 50% go, "Oh, it could be okay," or "You should have done this. You should have done that." Who's right? Who's wrong? No one's right. No one's wrong.
Well,
You take. You
because of
take.
what I said right at the very top, and that is photography is an art form and art is in the eye of the beholder. And I understand that.
Well, this is
I do
where
understand that.
I reckon, and then you take it to the bridge club and you'll get, the old guys down there playing bridge and, oh, that's a lovely photo. That's a lovely photo. But you know why? Because they probably think it's a lovely photo. So I think there's a fundamental issue in photography where every photographer there out there these days who is learning the craft, maybe not the ones that have been in it for long enough, but the newbies or the people that have been shooting in the last 5 years of their life, they are shooting for the wrong reason. They are shooting to try and impress others. And what they should be doing is trying to impress themselves. And I can tell you now, I had a turning point in my photography career where I went down the exact same road. You would have done it. We've all done it. Where you go, you put enter competitions. Oh, that didn't get anything. Okay, I'll shoot like Peter Eastway. See what happens. No, that didn't work. I'll shoot like Christian Fletcher. No, that didn't work. I'll shoot like Tom Putt. Oh, that didn't work. I'll shoot like, you go through all the names of the great landscape photographers and get nowhere. And like the failure is people, as soon as I started really know it, I said stuff awards and stuff trying to impress what other people think. And I just turned my thoughts and opinions of what other opinions were and just shot for my own enjoyment. I still learned things, like I still took in what you taught me or Glyn taught me or whoever it might have been. I still took all those things on board, but I blocked out a lot of the what do other people think of my photography and just focused purely on getting nice shots at nice places at nice times of day.
Which is actually at the crux of this topic, because like I said off the very top, photography should be an expression of you. And that's where I find you know, but the problem is people don't allow that to flow. They don't allow that to come because of these blockades that they artificially put in front of themselves, where they're comparing their own photos to masters of photography.
Mm.
All right. So gosh, I think that's
no, joking.
Like Peter Eastway, who in my opinion is Australia's greatest landscape photographer.
Yeah.
Hope hey, he listens to the show.
What about that Peter guy in Tassie? He was pretty good. He doesn't listen though.
But I mean, I'm a Peter Eastway fanboy. Yeah. Thanks for throwing me completely off.
No, you're right.
But what I'm getting at here is that, and you're exactly right, what you said there. When you started to forget about what other people were thinking and you started to, I would argue what you did was you were out in your environment and you expressed yourself with what you were seeing. And that might sound airy-fairy and artsy-fartsy, but it's true. I find when I go particularly on my own to a location and the conditions happen to be really good for photography, that is when I'm at my best. Is that
an expression of yourself?
Yeah, 100%.
I would flip that and say that if I go to a place and everything's going perfect, light-wise, composition, I don't see that as an expression of me. I see that as an expression of nature.
Yeah, but the way I shoot it. So,
but you're capturing nature though. You're capturing light.
I can count on one hand the times when that's happened and I've been in the zone in my photography and felt an emotional attachment to the landscape that I'm shooting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every single time the images were awesome. I was stoked with what I achieved.
Yeah.
They're photos that I still sell on the regular. Which is, I'm lucky like that, and so are you, and so are people who sell their photos for a living, because we actually have a physical gauge when artwork sells, and so, well, artwork being photos, when they sell regularly, you're onto something. You've done something right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So we have that gauge, but people who put the cart before the horse and look at the end result and try and achieve that, I'm sorry, that's not going to get you anywhere. You want to, by all means, you've got to be in these locations and plan your trips and everything that we talk about ad nauseum on this channel. But I live for that moment. I still do. I still live for that vibe, that feeling where, you know, I came very, very close to it on the Three Capes walk.
Yeah.
And don't take this the wrong way, Cam, the company was brilliant, but had I been there, had I walked out that 4.5K on my own for that sunrise, and I think it would have been one of those moments, right?
Yeah, yeah, agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So
we had some guy screaming on the edge of a cliff, ruining it for everyone.
I know. I kind of ruined the whole thing.
But so do you know where I'm coming from?
And me, I actually felt that I probably didn't quite get in the flow zone there for two reasons. One, we were under time constraints.
Yeah.
We only had those hours there. That was it. Yeah. We couldn't come back the next day. So that placed a bit of pressure on. And two, the fact that, that Dan was there, that Jack was there. And I was conscious of you guys as well. Yeah. And we were working semi as a group. We wanted to make sure we didn't get too spread out. We wanted to know where everyone was for safety and all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah.
But for me though, I think, and it's the follow-up part to this, is how do you express yourself through your photography? It's just making sure that you've got everything down pat first so that the frustration doesn't come. Because another gentleman that I'd done a one-on-one workshop with recently came in and showed me some photos, and I explained to him about ISO. And I said, well, we did go over this in the thing, but I understand we went over a lot. We covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
This is where you went wrong. And he was like, oh, damn, if I only had done that, this shot wouldn't be blurry and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, spend 6 months, a year, 2 years on getting that stuff right. And the payoff is massive.
Yeah. So you said before that, like, there's all these blockers for people to, I guess, see through the fog of what everyone else is saying so they can really focus on expressing. But how do people, like, I actually think it's, these days, it's a really, really hard thing to be able to express yourself in your photography or put the blinkers on because there's so much out there. Like if it's not social media, it's on Facebook when you're looking at photos. If it's not that, you're listening to a show or watching YouTube. If it's not that, you're showing your friends stuff and they're all giving you great feedback, or you're in a camera club. To get where you want to get, it's almost like you've just got to shut the entire world out and have tunnel vision for your photography, and that's it. And
Almost.
that I guess if you relate that to other art forms like music or painting, that's what a lot of them do. They lock themselves in a room, or they sit there and just practice the same song over and over and over again. I think, yeah, there's definitely a discipline to it to be able to do that. But it's really hard to teach people to block that out. Like it's really hard. Like I don't know how many times where I have, oh yeah, but the person at the camera club, oh, but everyone online said this one was like I've shot people down. Like I actively think that social media has ruined photography because there's no honest opinions anymore. And if you do put up an honest opinion, you're the worst person in the world. But you're right, the person who's getting that feedback is missing that because no one's putting it up there. But I get a lot of people saying, what do you think about that? And even to the opposite effect, I had a customer that didn't do very well in a club competition. It was this beautiful shot of a kookaburra. And she could not understand why it didn't rate as well as what she thought it was going to rate. It was a great shot. It was a really good shot of a kookaburra. But she'd been knocked down the opposite way, where because she didn't win anything or didn't rate very well on the camera club awards, she went and thought, okay, well, I've got to change the way I do all this because that's the feedback I got that I didn't win. I've got to go do a different thing. When really, in hindsight, what she should be saying is, so that's how I shot the kookaburra. That's how I'm expressing my photography through those settings. Stuff the rest of you. That's what I'm doing. But it's really, really, really hard. I don't know how people can block. I don't know what the solution is.
It's hard to break those shackles, but I would say, if you're in a camera club, and kudos to you if you are, and thank you for supporting your local camera club,
But
and you
quick.
are entering comps, I think the first thing you need to do is leave your ego at the door, put your work out there for everyone to see, good, bad, or indifferent. And then if you win an award, if you get chosen first in for that, well done to you. Fantastic. Great. Even then, though, it doesn't mean it's a great image.
Yeah,
It's
that's right.
a great image if it's a great image to you. And that is where I'm coming from here. Photography should be an expression of you. If that image speaks to you and you can look back at your photos and have a sense of pride or feel that emotion that you felt when you were taking those photos, that's where the cream is. That to me, that's where the real payoff comes in photography, is when you look back at it. And I love it when it happens. I'll be going back through my archives, and we've said this 100 times, but you go back through your archives, you go, that photo, how am I overlooking this image? It's such a cool shot. And if you can relive that moment through that image and it takes you back to that place, hey presto, that's photography as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think the one question people need to ask themselves, anyone listening who is in this boat where they're struggling or not getting the results, I think the question is, why am I doing this? Why do I go out and take photos? And if your answer is anything along the lines like, well, I like to enter competitions, or I like to share it with my friends to see what they think, then I think they're in the game for the wrong reason. To me, photography, I think it is. If the photography is a very personal thing, again, I relate it back to music a lot. Taking a photograph's like writing a song. It's very, there's always personal elements to it. There's always, your own personality on it. There's your own settings, your own feel to it, your own sound, so to speak. But if you're not going out every time with your camera and just purely focusing on that, and I think you're right as well with, I think the way that people can start getting to that point is actually going on their own a bit more. Because as
Definitely.
soon as you go out with a group of, and it's great to go out and shoot with friends. And like Jamie and I went up to the dunes last weekend and we had a great time, but it's never the same as if you go on your own. And I think that's something that people, and I hear the stories that, I don't feel safe going out to my own to some places and stuff like that. And totally get that. Safety is paramount. But if you can find the time once a week or a fortnight just to go out for 2 hours on your own to do a sunset or a sunrise purely on your own, you'll learn more in those 2 hours than you will if you were to do it with a group of people for the same time, because you get distracted. You'll have Joe Blow saying, "Oh, you got to shoot this way. Oh, what do you think about this?" And you all get muddled up. So it's a great topic.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sal.
It's really interesting, and it sometimes might be me talking to myself, because you know I do sometimes shoot for the wrong reasons. So you know, case in point, so you know, here in on the Ballerine Peninsula, my best-selling images are generally the beach stairs that go down here at Ocean Grove. This, you know, all the stairways that are still very well maintained by Barwon Coast and looked after, and Point Lonsdale Lighthouse. So when I've got a good sunrise or a good sunset coming, they're my two go-to locations. I need to challenge myself more. Yeah. I need to go to somewhere that I didn't think of before, like somewhere that's not a iconic, like there's not a structure there, or there's not a one thing there to photograph, and that's where I need to lay down the challenge.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's a little bit of looking in the mirror there for me, Cam.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of things that we do talk about are somewhat a reflection from what we do anyway.
Yeah.
Like I even said the other day to someone, I went up to Mount Field to go check out on the fagus tree here and the fungi situation for our workshops coming up. But I don't go out and shoot anywhere near as much as I used to before my business sort of took off a bit. I used to go out all the time. That's why I've got an amazing portfolio of Tasmania, because the thousands of kilometers I did on my own. And some of the best photos I've got have all been on my own. They always are. But it's really quite hard now to get that time for myself. So, but it's super important to go out on your own, and test yourself, go out to different places, try, if you have to go back to the same place five times to do five sunrises or five sunsets, then so be it. Yeah. But what you'll learn in those five visits is a lot about light, a lot about composition, a lot about your own camera, weather systems, the whole lot. It's like what you learn is invaluable. Yeah. So, but it's a real hard one, and it is something, it's probably up there in the top three of things people struggle with.
Definitely. And I would argue that once you get to the level where you can start expressing yourself with your photography, then you're in a pretty good place with you're a pretty accomplished photographer, I would think.
Yeah.
When you can get yourself to that level.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at big time photography YouTubers like Thomas Heaton, for example.
Yeah.
You look at his photos. This is how it comes across on his YouTube channel, so I'll take it with a grain of salt.
Yep.
I think what happens, he'll go out for a shoot and he will come back after 2 days, 3 days with four images.
Yep.
Four images that he's happy to show people, I guess, and I guess that then arcs back to the edit.
Yep.
So when he sits down to edit, and what he's prepared to show people after they've been edited,
yeah,
versus what he actually captured on camera.
Well, this is like if you look at Ansel Adams, for example, right? So amazing historic black and white photographer from America, the godfather of landscape, really. A lot of his brilliance was created in the darkroom.
Yeah.
Like a lot of his light, looking at your shot behind you with that beautiful light and that sort of that mood and that difference light flickering through the mountains there. He did a lot of that through dodging and burning of light and stuff like that through the darkroom. So
absolute pioneer of it.
Absolutely. So what it's really hard these days to explain to people. Like I do it all the time, even the other day down in the Southwest, I kept saying to people, now here's a really nice sunset or a sunrise. Let's just make sure we get that sky under control. Check your histogram. And every one of them is like, yeah, but it's dark. It's all dark on the screen. I'm like, don't worry about the darkness on the screen. Make sure that the highlights aren't getting clipped and the shadows are okay. Because when you take it back and edit, you've got everything to play with. You've got all that beautiful light in one file to play with. You don't have to dodge and burn too much or any of that kind of stuff. And it wasn't until I showed them a couple of edits that they all went, oh my God, that light was there the whole time. Like you just had to do the shadows a bit and like that. So a lot of the feel and the expression that you get out of your shots, it's the whole process. It's not just taking it in the camera, get it right in the camera, get it right in your editing, and then print it out at your shop or someone else's so you can see you can feel the result.
Yeah.
But
I think it's no coincidence though that, and I'm speaking for myself, and I'm assuming you have the same experience. The best of the best of your images are very, very close to how they looked in camera when you shot them. Would I be right?
We did one. I was somewhere the other day. I can't remember what it was. And I said to the customer, I said, out of camera, done. I said, I said that'll be plus 25, 30 contrast, and that's it. And it was practically that. It was minimal adjustment. So if I go through, yeah.
I was just going to say, which goes back to the point of, get it all right first and then, anyway.
Yeah, that's right. So one other thing that blows a lot of people away when I do my editing is just how little editing I do on my photos. So I'll go through and it's like plus five, minus five, bit of this, bit of this, bit of that. And they're like, that's it. Like, don't you paint light in or brush light in? I'm like, no, it's already there. It's the contrast and the shadows and the highlights that you play with to make it really stand out. And they're like, all right. And you can, the penny almost drops in their heads. Like, right, I don't need to spend hours editing a photo
No.
if I get it right in the 30th of a second out in the field. So,
And I actually blame Photoshop a little bit. Photoshop has become such a part of the vernacular now, like such a part of photography and people. So if anyone sees an edited photo on a screen, what do they say? It's been Photoshopped.
Photoshop.
Right? Photoshop is a brand, right? I blame Photoshop a lot because if you open, and I'm talking about the physical program of Photoshop here. If you open Photoshop and you show it to someone who's never seen it before, just watch their brain scramble. Like they're just like, what the hell am I looking at here?
What is this, the Matrix?
It's a behemoth of a program. I say this to everyone. I literally play in that space where the tip of the iceberg is. I play in that space. I don't go down here. I just,
Exactly.
I've
You
got people
you
who
don't have
work for
to though.
me that can go down and do the layering and do the exposure blending and
That's the thing, you
color
don't just,
changing and all that sort of stuff. I just like, I can't be bothered.
but this is the thing that people need to really get into their skulls when they're taking photos. You do not need to Photoshop the absolute shit out of your files.
No.
There is this whole myth that you cannot create nice photos unless you've spent hours editing them and fluffing around with Photoshop or Lightroom. Like your shot behind you, that'd be almost out of camera with a bit of contrast and a bit of playing around with highlights and shadows. Because
I
it's,
don't, I actually think it's literally straight out of camera.
yeah, because it's because the light was right, the conditions are right, and everything was right. You don't need there's this myth that you need to spend all this time editing to get a good shot. Get that out of your head. And spend, like I said, spend the 30th of a second getting it right in camera, and your edits will be 2 minutes long,
That's right.
guaranteed. So,
Exactly.
hey, great topic. I wanted to do a quick plug. I just added that into our notes.
Yes.
There is a show on Disney Plus called Photographer, not The Photographer, just
I've
Photographer.
seen the preview for it. It looks amazing.
Yeah, I watched the first, I think there's about six episodes. I watched the first two last night, and it's really cool.
Okay.
The second episode was on a guy who did all these different, a bit more macro photography and time lapse photography, but like some very, very cool stuff. So he did a series for Nat Geo on parasites that take over insects' brains and control their brains. And he's got
Fantastic.
these incredible shots. Like it looks like something out of Alien. But if you don't have Disney Plus, you can get like a 14-day free trial. Get on there, sign up, binge it, and then let us know what you think because it's really, really cool. Very, very cool. So.
And God knows we're not sponsored by Disney.
Or Nat Geo.
we might hold over Gear Talk till next week because we have prattled on a lot on our lead
Oh, great
topic
topic.
there. Real quick, photography word of the week.
This will go for 5 minutes, won't it? What
And probably 3 seconds.
is the law of reciprocity?
Well done, nailed it. Reciprocity. Do you know there's so many photographic terms that are not easy to say?
Reciprocity? No, that's
Re
not a good one.
reciprocity being one of them.
So, what is the law of reciprocity, Brendan?
Well, and again, you know how I am on these photography word of the week things. My rudimentary understanding is the law of reciprocity is that an image can be captured under correct exposure given a couple of different settings. So, for example, if you've got an image shot at, and I'll probably get this wrong, no, I'll get this right, 1/1000th of a second at f3.5, you
I
can
don't
capture
do
the
thirds of
same.
stops.
You can capture a same the you can capture the same image
Yes.
at
Now you are going to
1/5000th of a second at f5.
right, yeah. If you say
Like, you know
so.
what I mean? So
Yeah, I know.
basically, you're doubling both.
Yep.
It's maths.
It is. It is maths. Science. Photography is the only art that's a science, and the only science that's an art. It's very cool.
Oh, I love it.
I love that. That should be on a t-shirt. There's an idea.
Probably already is, yeah.
So what it is, there's an equation. Exposure equals intensity times time, which is how much light you get in and how much time you let it get in for. And that gives you the exposure. So the equation expresses as a reciprocal relationship between the intensity of light passing through the lens and the duration that light is permitted to fall upon the image sensor. So the law is the relationship between the intensity of the time and the time to equal your exposure. So you're right. If you do a shot at, whatever it is at 2.8 a thousandth of a second, blah, blah, blah. If you do it at this, it's the same intensity or the same time and intensity of light coming through onto that sensor or film. So, it's an interesting term, but then it does evolve further with, like I was saying before off air, the reciprocity failure, which is when
Yes.
you let too much light come in onto a sensor or mainly on a film, and you have
Yes.
failure of the chemicals to collect that light correctly to make the exposure. That used to be a big deal when you were shooting Velvia film.
Definitely.
And on each packet of film, it used to give you how much time before the reciprocity failure kicked in.
That's
So how
right.
much intensity and how much time for that
Yeah.
exposure.
You basically couldn't overcook it.
You couldn't overcook it because the chemicals would be overcooked by the light.
That's
So
right. Yeah.
it's the equation that expresses the reciprocal relationship between the intensity of light passing through the lens and the duration that light is permitted to fall upon the image sensor. It demonstrates that you can achieve equivalent exposures by varying both the aperture and shutter speed in inverse proportion to one another. Given that their reciprocal relationship, we can make the following statements. Well, here we go. Do you want me to read that out? If you decrease the light intensity, exposure time must be increased proportionally to produce the same total exposure. And if you increase the light intensity, exposure time must be decreased proportionally to create the same overall exposure, and so on.
So we're
There you
literally talking about it's the relationship is the same, and it's reciprocated,
It's
hence
reciprocated.
reciprocity. I like
That's
it.
right. It is. It's a good one.
Here, camp.
What people need to know, hang on, what people need to know with that is that if you do change things, there's some things that will fundamentally change the look of your photo. Your exposure value will be fine, but your depth of
Yes,
field might change, or your
correct.
movement might change, and things like
Yes,
that.
that's right. So your exposure might be, in inverted commas, correct exposure,
Yes.
but the depth of field will be different. Yes,
Exactly.
I
Right.
like it.
Dear Cam. Is this a dear Cam or a horror story?
It's both.
Do we have them?
Well,
Is
it's
it?
a, oh, I guess it's, well, it's
Yeah.
a dear cam about a horror story.
It's a horrible deer cam.
G'day,
Righty-o.
Cam and Brendan. Always gets read out if you add the Brendan part. If you hang on, if you want to, you can use this as a dear cam or a photography horror story. There you go.
There you go.
But
Cover
I
both
won't
bases.
mention the actual name of the business I'm talking about. This sounds scandalous already. I like
We're
this.
getting sued already, aren't we? Yep.
My wife recently bought, was talked into buying a photo shoot package for our daughter who recently had her second baby. It was a 45-minute session of family photos on the beach. Nice. The package was $500, okay, which included six edited photos on a USB, six, Cameron,
Is this your business they're talking
and
about?
two 8x10-inch prints. Okay. Well, the photos are bloody awful.
Oh, no.
The photographer failed miserably to capture anything even close to good. Crap lighting, really poor poses, and basically not much better than I could have done on my iPhone. But here's the kicker. They are asking us for $150 per photo if we want the extra shots above the six they gave us. I am hoping I can use my rudimentary Photoshop skills and at least retrieve something, but they are basically holding the extra shots to ransom. Is this industry practice or should we just ask for a refund? Graham in Werribee. Hello, Graham. Thanks for watching the show.
Jesus.
Man, there's a lot there to unpack.
That's a bit of a horror story, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Graham, being a listener to the show, is clearly an amateur photographer, keen on his photography. As he says there, he does use Photoshop. So he's looking to get the photos that they didn't give them on the USB that had already been edited. They want the raw files, basically, to see if he can salvage this.
Look, it's a tricky one. I would go down the line of first discussing with them that they're not really happy with the
Yes.
results. Just say,
Yes.
look, you know what,
Honesty is going to
we
be the best policy ever,
yeah,
isn't it?
look, it didn't really achieve what we thought it was going to achieve. The photos we're not really happy with. Happy to pay, but we don't really think they're worth what you don't want to come across like a cheapskate saying, oh, they're crap photos, give me my money
Well,
back.
It might mean, given the question, it might mean that he's already done that, because he says they're asking for us for $150 per photo for the extra shots. Sorry, Graham, we don't know if you've already done that, but
so they've already, maybe he's already paid the 500, got the six shots, and they're
that's
crap.
What, yeah, I think,
and then
that's
he's
what's
like,
happened.
show us the rest of them, and they're like, we'll give you 100. See, if I was the photographer and I had, and I was confident that my work was okay,
Yes,
I would say to Graham, you're a pain in the ass. Here's all the files, don't come back.
Right.
I would give him all the raws and be done with it. I'd keep him happy and move him on and say, okay, you weren't happy with him.
So maybe
I
don't call him a pain in the ass then.
Well, maybe. Well, but I would, if it was me going this way, if I was confident in my work and I'd given the job the quality that I expected to, and they came back and said, oh, they're terrible, we want to see all the images. And I've had this a couple of times with wedding photographers.
Right.
Wedding photography. I had a couple who came out from Singapore who booked me in to go to a shoot at Cradle Mountain. And then I did all the shots, did everything exactly as per the contract. And then they said, oh, we're really good at Photoshop. Can we have all the raw files? I went, well, that wasn't the deal. Oh, yeah, but we don't really like what you did. And I'm like, oh, that's the first I've heard of it. And they went back and forth. And I went, you know what? It's probably more my value just to say, here's your raw files. Go away. I don't want to see you again. Do what you want. But here's the disclaimer. Those raw files are now yours, and you editing them is not a reflection of my work. And that I want that, that's in writing.
That's completely fair enough.
It's fair enough. With Graham here, I don't think they should be charging you $150 per photo for the extra
ludicrous
shot above the six. That's BS. $150 a photo. It would sound to me like maybe they're not the greatest business going around.
Look, reading between the lines, what I see, what I take out of that is they're asking for $150 per photo. They ain't got any other good photos.
Well, they might.
They basically priced him out of, you know what I mean?
I think what happens these days as well, and some of these portrait photographers and wedding photographers, they're almost backyarders. They're part-timers.
Oh, there are too many of those. There's no question about that.
So maybe that's maybe what they are, and they're like, well, I'm going to try and make as much money out of this guy as I can.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't sound like a good business model to me. Like, I'd be trying to work with you, Graham, and say, okay, what's the problem? Do you want, maybe I can re-edit them differently, or maybe, you know, maybe we can do this, or maybe here's a section of low-resolution files of all of them. You tell me which ones you like better, and I'll go re-edit them for you. Like, try and keep it in-house without giving your work away.
Yeah.
But having said that, you know, I'm sure Graham's a wonderful person and a great listener of the show. He may unsubscribe after this, but Graham might be a pain in the ass. I don't know. He might be real high maintenance. I'm not too sure. So I don't know, Graham, if you know. I don't know if you know Graham or not.
Graham's taking this the right way, I'm sure.
Okay, good. So, you know, maybe,
Graham's not a pain in the ass.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's the other thing. But I guess if you look back, pull it all apart, $500 for a package, that's not cheap for a couple of hours session, most likely. Well, and
yeah, two and prints. For two, hey, don't forget the 2 8x10 prints.
Well, they're $6 each or $4 each or something like that.
Yeah, at certain establishments, not mine.
Not yours. So, I don't know. I'd be going back to them and trying to maybe just say, try and get on an even playing field where you can say, look, we're not really happy with how the photos looked. Can we have a look at the other ones that you did and ask you to edit another six for us? And we'll pay you $150 for another six or something like that, but per photo. The other option then, is it industry practice? Probably not. You could ask for a refund, but I think that's
You're well within your rights to ask for a refund and give all the photos back.
That's fair, but that's going to get messy. The other thing you could do, Graham, is just go and do a bad review.
Yeah.
Ooh, one-star review on Google, that gets their attention. Right.
Would not recommend.
What would you do, Grant? Brendan, this is more probably a little bit.
If I were Graham.
Wheelhouse, yeah.
If I were Graham, I'd just ask for a full refund.
Right.
I mean, that's to me, you know, well, I mean, look, I'm sure Graham's wife had the best of intentions, but it sounds to me like she was roped into something that, you know, she probably didn't do
did
enough
they buy,
research
did
on.
They buy, or, did or, they buy it at the supermarket, the shopping center?
I've got a feeling it might be.
At a table,
I think it's,
outside,
you know,
JB
one of those one of those ones where they set up in the, and you see the nice photos and some of
well,
them.
Well, that's the that, if he was going to ask for a refund, what I would do, if they have a website, I would go and take some screenshots of the nicest photos they've taken off the website.
That's right.
And send them an email and say, here's a lovely shot of X child, not ours. compared to the ones you gave us. We don't think they're comparable to the
Yeah,
quality you offered.
that's right. Yep.
Either you're false advertising, you had a bad day, which everyone does, or you
Oh,
give us
well,
something that.
maybe that's a compromise. You
Yeah.
had a bad day. Let's do a reshoot.
Let's do a reshoot. Again, I don't want to insult Graham, but yeah, maybe the baby's really ugly. I don't know. There is, like, I did a baby shoot the other day, actually.
I'm sorry, Graham.
That turning into a horror answer.
Poor Graham. He
But
didn't come
like,
here for this.
I did a shoot the other day of a mate's baby, and they're like, great little family, cute little family. But what, like, the boy, he was tricky. Like, he was mucking around, and it's hard to sometimes, if you've got a kid that's out of control at a really bad place with really bad lighting, and like, it is pretty hard to get it. But most of the time, you can rescue that through your editing, like we've sort of said before earlier. So I'd be going back and saying, look, they've obviously said they're not happy, so they've obviously got a price that it's 150 per photo. They maybe have gone too far to get an answer out of this. So maybe just go and say, look, you know what, I'm happy, we want a refund. They should give the photos back. They should offer you a refund of that. Maybe less their time, perhaps. Like, because they have gone out and taken the photos and edited them. Maybe they give you 50% back. I don't know. But it
Yeah,
sucks. It sucks
it
when you get
does.
to a situation like that. But
Oh well,
yeah,
there you go,
it's.
Graham. I don't know if we've solved your issue, but we've given you a little bit of advice there.
We
So
haven't solved it, but we've certainly insulted him.
that's right.
Sorry,
If you would
Graham.
like to be insulted, send us a Dear Cam question. You can send it to us below, or you can hit us up on our website, Facebook page,
Yeah.
all those sort of places where
Yeah.
you can
Free
jump
insult.
on and say good
If
day.
you would like to end your photography career, send through your files and we will definitely just pay out of them.
That's right.
God. No, it's a tricky one. But anyway, all in good fun, Graham. I'm sure
Maybe Cameron,
grandchild
maybe
is
that
lovely.
photographer was just trying to express themselves.
Maybe, just maybe, the photographer was just shit.
I'd say so. Now I'm looking below the deer cam and I'm seeing a big space.
Yeah, there is a big space, but that's not because it hasn't happened.
Okay. All
That's
right. I'm
because I've
sure.
been, it's
I was
been
gonna
because
say,
I'm lazy.
do you need me to stretch for a little while you
No,
find the
no,
beer
no. But
donations for this week? Or
there is a bit of a surprise in here. When did we do our last episode?
We did our last episode. Our last episode only went out 4 days ago. So
So when did we record it?
we recorded it 6 days ago.
Let me have a look at the calendar. This is very important. One, two, three, four, five, six. Damn it. That's not good.
Oh,
So we've got two beer donations.
thank you for our beer donators.
Jenny C
Hello, Jenny.
and Sharon T.
Hello, Sharon T.
That's it.
Okay. He's still got time. I mean, technically, you could. We've gone early with the recording, so
Well, I think
controversial.
we mentioned it. He made a donation last time on the last. He's on the cusp.
Maybe
So
it's April Fool's Day, so he doesn't. You know what I mean?
maybe.
We're getting stitched up. Thank you for anyone who donates beer to us. We love it. Thank you.
What happens if that cat takes off, the donation beer, one day we get like 18 slabs delivered?
Well, we invite our very, very favorite listeners and
Come
we
out
have
and
some
drink it.
fun. That would be fun.
All right.
Right, that's it. That's the podcast. Cameron, what have you got coming up?
Nothing.
Great. I'm off to Adelaide
Adelaide.
on Wednesday, so I'll be on Adelaide when this comes out.
Take your own food because nothing's open.
On a Sunday, nothing's open.
After 4 o'clock on a Saturday or Sunday, there's nothing open.
Right. Well, luckily we're heading back. We'll be back in Victoria on Saturday, so that's okay.
I'd pick something up at Bordertown if I was you.
On the way in.
On the way in. That'd be cool. That's a lovely town. I love Adelaide.
I'm so looking forward to it. I get to do a road trip with my beautiful daughter, so that's always fun. Looking forward to doing that and getting to watch some football and gather around. That'll be cool.
Yes.
My mob are flying the flag okay at the moment. It's very early in the season. That'll all change very quickly. And then
Then
I'm in Tasmania the week after that, Cam.
shit, are you down here?
Can you believe it?
What are you down here for?
No idea. I'm just going. I'm running a workshop with some other dude.
Is he gonna rock up? I hope he is. No, that'd be good. I'm looking forward to that.
That's going to be huge. I am
Everything's
pumped for that. That's
I
going to
think
be
everything's
massive.
I've got the bus booked, I've got the accommodation booked.
Then that's all you need to do.
You're here, we're good.
That's right. I'm booked. My flights are booked. It's
Yeah.
fine.
We're playing golf. Hey, can I do a massive, massive shout out? Like
Yeah,
huge. Like
we love
maybe
shout outs because no one listens this far. So go for it.
The biggest shout out this show's ever had.
Oh, gosh.
To the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers.
Oh, well done.
Who won the NBL final against Melbourne United.
They sure did.
They've only been in the league 3 years and they've won a championship already.
Massive.
Came down to the last 3 seconds, a half-court shot from Melbourne, missed.
I was watching.
It was crazy. It was amazing. They've had a big welcome at the airport today. They've been to the MyState Arena and had a big fanfare thing there. The Hobart will shut down this week. I can tell you that now.
Fantastic.
They will do a bus parade around the state, I reckon.
Brilliant.
But how good is it? Like, imagine if we had an AFL team down here at one something.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's right.
So no,
it's awesome. It's awesome for the state of Tassie. And I'm all for it. You know, I'm a sports fan and you're a sports fan. So I wouldn't put basketball as one of my highest, most watched sports, but I do get it and I understand it and I know how it works. And well done to the Tassie Jack Jumpers.
Well done.
Good shout out.
It was good. So well done to them. It was actually probably the first time I think I've been really proud to be a Tasmanian.
There you go.
In that sphere.
Another 15 years and you'll be a local?
No, 1,500 years maybe.
Wow, that's old. Yeah. All right, we done?
I think we've crapped on well enough.
You're not to say toodaloo this week, by the way.
Oh, really? Why not?
I don't know. It's sort of like rock, paper, scissors. What's he going to play next?
Yeah, I was going to say toodaloo. I don't know what to say now.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We will catch you for episode 118 of the Down South Photo Show next week. Bye for now.
Sayonara.